If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's gonna happen tonight? What's gonna happen?
We're gonna whoop their.
Have you gotten Romo yet?
Welcome into the Go Vols 247 podcast, a second breaking news edition pod on this Monday. I am Ben McKee, not Wes Rucker, because Wes is still sick like a soft big baby. Filling in for Wes is myself.
I'm here. I just can't talk, Ben.
But you can still cut me off. and here is Ryan Callahan to deliver the news that everybody is waiting for, because Ryan, yet again, Tennessee picked up another important transfer.
They did. This is turning into Transfer Monday for Tennessee. Omar Norman Lott, a defensive tackle from Arizona State. A guy that was actually involved with Tennessee back in the spring when he spent several days in the transfer portal and then withdrew his name. But he is now headed to Tennessee, took an official visit to Knoxville over the weekend, was there Friday through early Sunday, and knew before he left home that he wanted to transfer to Tennessee. And in fact, that's the only visit he has taken since entering the transfer portal back in early December. So, this was one that once I heard the name and heard Tennessee's involvement, sounded like a real possibility just based on the fact that there was already a relationship there with Rodney Garner from when he reached out to Norman Lott back in the spring. And, you know, Tennessee was hoping to host him on a visit back in May at the time that happened. And it just didn't work out because he decided to stay at Arizona State. So Tennessee clearly has liked him for a while now, and not shocked to see it be a fit. Even though the guy had never been to the East Coast, he told me before he traveled to Knoxville this past weekend. That's the kind of thing we don't think about a whole lot with these guys from the transfer portal. But, you know, he's a West Coast kid. He's from Sacramento, California. You know, never really traveled across the country for any reason. Never visited another SEC school coming out of high school, even though he was a 24/7 Sports composite 4-star coming out of high school. And checked out Knoxville for the first time and said it, you know, it exceeded his expectations, and he didn't really need to visit anywhere else. So a guy who started several games this past year at Arizona State, also battled some injuries at times this past season. So that, I think that maybe stunted his production just a little bit, but I do think, you know, sacks and tackles for losses are not the only barometer that you can use to gauge defensive linemen. And he certainly, I think, was a fairly coveted guy by several major programs. So not surprised to see Tennessee kind of set its sights on him and for it to be a fit. But this is a nice pickup for Tennessee, a guy that started several games at a Power 5 school and that Rodney Garner's liked for a while. So I think given his track record, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that Tennessee is getting a pretty good player and with a solid track record as well.
Rodney Garner and the SEC obviously speak for itself when recruiting defensive lineman, but in speaking to Omar, did anything else stand out as to what went into his decision to transfer to Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, again, I think he admitted he kind of knew or had a pretty good idea going into the visit that he was going to end up at Tennessee. He just kind of needed to verify what he already thought. So I think it was one of those deals where he went into the visit, you know, pretty sure that's where he wanted to go, but it's hard to say for sure until you check out a place for the first time and you really see it for yourself. You know, you can look at YouTube videos and pictures online all you want, but it's different once you see it all for yourself. And he told me once he you know, kind of set foot inside Neyland Stadium for the first time and saw that, you know, he said, hey, this is different. You know, and this is the guy who's been in the Pac-12. There's some nice stadiums out there. There's not a lot quite like Neyland Stadium with that look of that place. And I hear from players all the time from Florida, from Texas, from California, all these places, even from neighboring states that maybe have seen SEC games on TV a lot. But when they see that in person and especially when they see it on a game day. But when they see a place like that in person, they've never really seen a big stadium like that. It's quite an impression that it makes. And so I think that was one of the things that really stood out to him once he got to Knoxville and saw that for himself. But I think really liked the town and liked the environment, even though students weren't really around and he didn't get the total feel for everyday life on campus. You know, he still, I think, liked the feel of the city and could see himself there and likes the opportunity on Tennessee's defensive line, where they, you know, are losing some guys, but not so many that he's just guaranteed to start. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, he is the type of guy that it feels like Tennessee has been looking for on the defensive line for a few years in a row, where, you know, Dejon Terry, they added him just a couple years ago. You know, they've needed this type of guy a lot. It's felt like, and maybe they're taking a step toward not having to rely on the transfer portal as much to get those types of guys, with the addition of Davin Hobbs in the 2023 class, even Tyree Weathersby, who projects as more of a defensive end, but finally getting some better, I think, high school players at that position, Tyree West a couple of years ago. So we'll see if they have to continue this, but it's certainly hard to pass up the chance to get an experienced guy with starting reps at a Power Five school when you can get him on the defensive line. And so not shocked to see Tennessee go to the portal for someone there. It's probably not in a lot of people's minds the most glaring need Tennessee has, but it was a no-brainer for me, knowing that they still need to kind of replenish the numbers there. And there's always a chance to upgrade the overall talent at that position with where Tennessee, I think, has been in recent years. So I think this is a nice pickup that's got a chance to upgrade their rotation in the middle, and they project him as kind of a prototypical three technique defensive tackle. That's, you know, the defensive tackle basically that doesn't line up as close to the center, if you want to put it in more layman's terms. That's basically what the three technique is, and you want a guy there who's a little more athletic, not so much of a gap filler, a guy who's going to take up blockers. You want someone at that position that can go after the quarterback, and so they've been looking for someone there to be more disruptive. I think he can do that, and we'll see how it works out. But I think they're pretty excited about getting a guy that they kind of quickly set their sights on once he again entered the transfer portal last month.
It's the SEC. You can never have too many offensive linemen or defensive linemen. And that is what separates the great teams from the good teams and the good teams from the bad teams, is the play along the line of scrimmage in the trenches. That is what wins you championships at the highest level. And look, you saw it this season. Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and the skill players on offense, they were terrific. The defense got enough stops when it mattered most. But Ryan, the difference in Tennessee winning 8-9 games this season, or 11 games, which obviously it did after the bowl win over Clemson, was how well Tennessee's offensive line played throughout the season. Outside of the Georgia game, they won their matchup just about every game this season. I would say the Clemson game was a toss-up between the Clemson defensive front and Tennessee's offensive line, but the growth of Tennessee's offensive line, and then also the growth of Tennessee's defensive line under Rodney Garner and how well they played for the majority of the season. They had games where they flat-out dominated opposing offensive lines. That was why Tennessee was able to win 11 games. So, quite frankly, you can never add too many big men. And as we saw with Rodney Garner's group this year, because of the pace in which Tennessee's offense plays under Josh Heupel, they like to rotate guys. They want to play double-digit D linemen. And you simply cannot have enough. And he seems like a guy that can be productive. So obviously you trust Rodney Garner's evaluation. He's not going to take a guy that he doesn't feel like can contribute. And Tennessee's been very picky. If you've been able to listen to the podcast we recorded earlier in the day discussing the commitment of Oregon transfer receiver Dante Thornton, we talked about how there have been some receivers that entered the portal that fans automatically linked to Tennessee because they generated a buzz leaving their old school. Well, Tennessee wasn't necessarily as high on them as fans were, or as some of the SEC media members were. And I think that's also the case on the defensive side of the ball. I think the fact that they haven't necessarily added a ton on the defensive side has been a little frustrating for fans. But this staff, they are going to be picky. They are going to make sure that the player can contribute and that they're going to fit in the culture. And you spoke to it a little bit about David Hobbs. They're building the program through the high school ranks. They're going to bring in the prospects. They're going to develop them. And then they're going to fill in the holes with transfers. And this seems like Omar Norman Lott is the perfect example of that.
Absolutely. And one thing on that, this is a point we probably don't even reiterate enough on GoVols 24/7. Part of what you're seeing Tennessee doing in the transfer portal, and this isn't to say that once they get things more up to speed and, you know, have a couple years in a row of having 85 scholarships and not having to catch up on numbers from the mess they inherited a couple years ago, that they're never going to go to the portal. I don't think that's the case. I think they're always going to go to the portal like most teams are. As long as this is a thing, they're gonna have an opportunity to patch up the roster, and who wouldn't want to try to upgrade there? But part of what they're dealing with is a 2021 class that Jeremy Pruitt left them that got blown up, and they're down to what? I think the last time I heard, 5 players are left from that class. I mean, there's next to nothing. So part of what you're dealing with is replenishing the depth that you should have gotten from a class that now would be entering its third season. You know, that class with Jalen Wright, I can't remember off the top of my head who else is left, but it's a small group now. So that's where you would see some of the numbers at those positions where Tennessee wouldn't have to maybe still fill some of these needs. They would be able to just develop more of what they have, but you just have to keep kind of backfilling a little bit over a couple or 3 years to make up for a class that gets obliterated the way that one has so quickly. So that's something that's worth noting here for sure. But yeah, like you said, you can't have enough offensive or defensive linemen in the SEC. And that's certainly part of the calculus here for Tennessee in taking a transfer defensive lineman. And I also just think they need to get a little more disruptive at the D tackle position. You know, they've had some good players there. Not a lot that I would say are great players, great NFL prospects. Omari Thomas, I think, had a pretty nice year. You know, they've had some other guys who've made some plays for them for sure. And they've done a good job stopping the run. And Omar Norman Lott, to his credit, you know, he pointed out that, hey, this is a defensive line and a defense that had a good game in the bowl game, had what, 4 sacks in that game, and played well against Clemson and got a lot of pressure on Cade Klubnik in that game. So he doesn't feel like he has to come in and immediately save or upgrade Tennessee's defensive line in a serious way because they're just desperate for talent. He feels like he's already coming into a pretty good group, but that he can help, that he can still, you know, maybe take them to another level or just be another experienced guy that can play a lot of snaps. And they think he's a more athletic 3 technique than a lot of what they have on the roster now. So we'll see how it works out. But, based on their track record and what they've gotten out of the portal at different positions and Rodney Garner's eye for talent, I think you'd have to assume he's going to be a pretty productive player for Tennessee. And I'll be surprised if he's not one of their, you know, top 4 defensive tackles going into the season. And I think there's a real chance he could potentially even start. You know, we'll see how that shakes out, but he's at least going to have a chance to do that. He does have 2 years of eligibility, so it doesn't have to be a one and done where he's looking to come in and start right away. So that helps, but it's a nice addition at a position where, you know, you're not desperate for bodies, but where you can always get better. And I think this is the type of addition that could make them quite a bit better going into next season.
You kind of just answered the question I was about to ask you next, and that's just how big of an impact you feel he can have on the defensive line this upcoming season. Again, you said it, I said it earlier, you trust Rodney Garner's evaluation and you trust his decision to bring in Omar Norman Lott from Arizona State. But in speaking to people or having conversations with others out on the West Coast, just how significant of a pickup do you view this?
Yeah, I think it is a big pickup, you know, again, because he was pretty well regarded coming out of high school too, you know, not quite at the same level you would say Dante Thornton was, you know, a top 100 player nationally coming out of high school in his case, but still a 24/7 Sports composite 4 star coming out of a state as loaded as California is. He was pretty well regarded there. And again, had some good options coming out of the transfer portal in the spring if he had decided to follow through on taking some visits then and looking around. So, you know, not surprised that Tennessee went after him again. And I think the fact they've gone after him twice, you know, tells you that they've clearly not had the exact same roster situation in those two cases, you know, is a little bit different back in the spring from what it is now. The fact they've gone after him twice tells you they just like it. I mean, this is just a guy that they want on the team and that they believe can help them. So, you know, again, I think they're still at a point where they are upgrading the overall talent, getting it to where they want it to be. Rodney Garner has maximized what they have at that position, no question. I think he's done a fantastic job with developing the guys he inherited. But I do think, you know, some of the guys, especially at defensive tackle, that they have are more of the more of just the solid SEC players that can help you, certainly are effective at stopping the run, but again, maybe not as ideally as disruptive as you would like them to be in terms of just slashing through gaps and making things happen in the backfield. I think Norman Lott can help with that. And from what we've seen in his college career so far, you know, he should project as at the very least a heavy rotational player. You would think that's what he was most of the past couple of years at Arizona State. And again, started several games this year. I want to say somewhere around seven starts. I don't have that number available right now. Some schools are really good at tracking starts on their website. Some are not, but he definitely played a lot and got through injuries to have a pretty okay season, considering that he was banged up at times. So I think based on what he's done before, based on where Tennessee's defensive line is, that, again, this should be, I think, a top three, at worst, top four defensive tackle for Tennessee, and projecting as a three technique. You know, I could certainly see him lining up alongside Omari Thomas a lot, you know, maybe even as a starter for Tennessee next year. You know, who else? I'm trying to think of that whole group you've got coming back. I mean, there's still some potential veterans that you'll have back at that position. They didn't lose a ton, but you do have still an opportunity for someone like an Omar Norman Lott to step in there and give that group a boost going into next season, to where I think he still easily could project as a starter, if not the top backup at that position going into next year.
We'll discuss more of the addition of Omar Norman Lott after we pay some bills here on the Go Balls 247 podcast.
Hashtag ad.
Money!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the Go Balls 247 podcast, a breaking news edition, a second breaking news edition of the Go Balls 247 podcast. I am Ben McKee, filling in for a soft with a capital T, Wes Rucker, joined alongside not Patrick Brown, but the even better Ryan Callahan. And before we dive back into the Omar Norman Lott conversation, I would like to take a minute to remind you to like, rate, and review the Go Balls 247 podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Ryan, you started to discuss it there right before the break, and that is the potential rotation along the defensive line next season following the addition of Omar Norman Lott. Tennessee has several bodies returning at that position. I think you lose more on the edge than you do on the interior. But Omar Norman Lott, I mean, he figures to be one of the guys that could crack the starting rotation. And if he doesn't crack the starting rotation, he will still play a lot of football for the Vols, and he will certainly be in the two deep.
No question. And they, again, you've got Omari Thomas coming back, and I guess it remains to be seen if any of these guys might hit the road themselves. That's always a possibility, whether it's after spring practice or still before the January 18 deadline to enter the portal for this winter period. It runs for 45 days. So still a possibility someone else could leave, but you've got guys with eligibility left, Karat Garland, for instance, but Dejon Terry, you still have obviously Omari Thomas for another year. You've got Elijah Simmons still around. And we know he's a guy that Tennessee has hoped to get more out of, but he's not quite been, a starter for this staff, someone that they still like to get in there rotationally, but just not a heavy snaps guy most of the time. And then you've got a young guy like Tyree West. You lost Jordan Phillips from that 2022 class after just 1 year. So that maybe that this makes up for that maybe a little bit, where you thought you had a young guy in Phillips who could have stepped in and given you more snaps in year two. And now you throw a veteran in there to kind of replace him. So maybe that added to the need there. But I think it's, again, a position where Tennessee just hasn't. They've thrown in Tyree West and not a whole lot else, I guess you would say. They've done a good job of upgrading the edge rushing talent. Oh, I forget. I knew there was a name I was forgetting. Bryson Eason, who played a lot of snaps for them this year. So that's obviously a guy that is going to continue to play a bigger role, I think, as he continues to progress. But you don't have so many guys there that there's just not an opportunity for someone like Norman Lott to come in and make you better. So they, it's a position where I think they recruited better this year. They still aren't done at that position in the 2023 class. Looks like they still might even pursue a late addition there in the February signing period to try to add more depth. But yeah, they've done such a good job of adding talented edge rushers with Joshua Josephs and James Pierce. And in this 2023 class, Caleb Herring and Shondavian Bradley. And you need to continue to upgrade the roster on the interior. Davin Hobbs, a really nice recruiting win, beating out Georgia and Alabama for him. So they're getting there, but this, again, kind of offsets some of the roster attrition they've had over the past couple of years, and the loss of a guy like Jordan Phillips that you didn't expect to leave after 1 year. I think it's a nice pickup that gives them a chance to, again, it's a situation where they don't have to give him a starting job right away, but there's an opportunity there still to upgrade. And we know Rodney Garner likes to rotate a lot of guys. They've played 10, 11 guys, and then just kind of roll them a lot of times throughout the season. So no question he's going to play. And I would say play a lot. It's just a matter of whether he is the number two at that three technique spot. Is he a starter? Where does he fit in? And they've got a whole offseason to kind of figure that out over the next several months.
I think he automatically slots in towards the top at minimum. At minimum, he slots in towards the top. Essentially, you have three defensive linemen that start because one of the starters is that Leo position, a.k.a. an edge rusher, a.k.a. today's modern version of an outside linebacker. And Byron Young is moving on, and that is going to be a big, big, big player to replace. And you do have Roman Harrison coming back, and you would think that he would be penciled in on January 9th as the starting Leo, but you mentioned it, James Pierce, Josh Josephs, those are guys that Tennessee needs to have an impact next season, and they need to take a step forward this offseason in order to have an impact next year. But looking on the interior, when you step aside from that Leo position, you essentially have three starting defensive linemen, and I think it's safe to say that Omari Thomas and Tyler Barron is probably going to anchor two of those three spots, and I recognize that they play different positions along the defensive line, but just generally speaking, they probably will fill two of those starting three spots, and that leaves a bunch of other guys kind of jockeying for that third starting spot, and I think Omar kind of slides in right there. You look at Dejon Terry, you look at Bryson Eason, those names that you mentioned. Amari McNeil is somebody that is now fascinating to watch after he received an increase in reps in the Orange Bowl. And he looked good too. He made some plays out there. He looked like he's going to be a big time player for Tennessee down the road. You especially feel confident in Rodney Garner's ability to develop him. So you look at Omar and you think that he has the potential to absolutely slot in there with Amari Thomas and Tyler Barron in the starting lineup. And if not, I see him rotating quite a bit amongst those other veterans like a Bryson Easton, like a Dejon Terry. Maybe Elijah Simmons can finally do something in his career. And I say that with all due respect, but he's going to be a redshirt senior this upcoming season, if I'm not mistaken. And he's been here for quite a bit. And typically by now, if you are going to be somebody that they can rely on, you've done something up until this point. And he just hasn't been able to do so for whatever reason. I know he's been banged up here and there, but in addition, like Omar, Norman Lott kind of helps you avoid having to rely on a guy that you've been hoping produces at some point in his career throughout these last couple of seasons. You add Omar, Norman Lott, and you don't necessarily have to rely on guys like Elijah Simmons as much as maybe you have in the past, to where if they don't work out, then, oh, well, you've got somebody else that can get the job done. Ryan, it's been a busy Monday afternoon for the Vols on the transfer market. I'm sure they're not done in terms of looking at the finality of the roster. Where do you think Tennessee needs to go from here in the transfer portal as they do look to shore up that roster and look to replicate the success that they had this past season?
Yeah, I think they still, it's interesting, they've added several guys now in this cycle that started really last month, but still several needs that you wouldn't be surprised to see them address. And I can't stress this enough. It really is much more than it used to be, kind of an eye for eye, one for one swap kind of deal now, where anybody who enters the transfer portal can be replaced, and you can essentially, you could make a position for position swap if you wanted to with everyone who leaves. So you're going to see Tennessee, I think, continue to shop in the portal through the spring. There's another spring window for the transfer portal where guys can enter from May 1st through May 15th after spring practice to give everybody one more chance to do that after they kind of see where they fit in on the depth chart in spring ball. So you're going to have an opportunity to address any additional, potentially unexpected losses you might have in the transfer portal. You never close the door on something like that. Certainly there are some guys on the roster that you would say they are maybe blocked or unlikely to play a lot this year, where it wouldn't shock you if someone else left. So we'll see how that goes. But aside from that, I still think if the right guy's there, I still think you could see an opportunity for an edge rusher. We haven't heard a lot at that position so far, but even though Tennessee has gotten some guys there, they went after Jared Verse last year. They are losing Byron Young this year. If the right guy was there, would you turn him down? I wouldn't say it's the most likely position for them to add someone, but if the right guy's there, maybe. We know that they want another offensive lineman at tackle. If John Campbell is the name to watch right now. At the time of this podcast being released, he may or may not have announced a decision already, but that one's come down to Tennessee and Florida, so that's a potential addition to watch. I think Tennessee has a real shot at him. So that's one to certainly keep a close eye on. And if they don't get him, they'll probably be still looking for tackles going forward. And then, again, we mentioned it earlier with the Dante Thornton podcast that another receiver is not out of the question. I still think they would like to add, if they could find the right guy who fits the opportunity, a second tight end from the transfer portal to go along with McCallum Castles. And I think they're interested in adding to the secondary at some point. We'll see exactly when that happens, but I think a cornerback more likely than a safety is the likely addition there, and we'll see where they go. But I think they are very interested in adding a cornerback if they can find the right fit. So, and then even still, you can't rule out a running back or something like that. We saw they kicked the tires on Marshawn Lloyd from South Carolina. He didn't end up visiting, but Tennessee went down that road and at least tried there for a while. So, and then we'll see what happens even at quarterback. Can't rule out that Taven Jackson could get frustrated with the situation this spring. I think that's something to at least keep an eye on in spring practice to see if he's going to be happy with the situation there now that Nico Iamaliava is on campus. If he were to leave, you certainly need more depth at quarterback. You don't want to go into next year with just two scholarship guys, so they would probably have to look for at least a depth option there. So we'll see. I mean, there's not really many positions where you can say Tennessee absolutely won't add someone else from the portal, but several that I would say there's at least a pretty good chance they will add someone else from the portal either this month or during the spring or summer. So this will be a long-term thing, as we've seen most off seasons, and stay tuned on that. But it's definitely been a busy week coming off the 5-day visit window last weekend. And hey, visits can resume Friday for all players. So still not out of the question, although I'm not aware of anyone right now who's scheduled to visit, and out of the question that some transfers could visit this coming weekend. So we'll see if anything develops on that front, but definitely still more to watch, and we'll have it all covered for you on GoVols247.com as we continue to track all the movement. But it's been a busy month so far, and plenty more to come, I would say, over the next really several months.
I think Ryan listed every position on right? the football field
yeah.
except long snapper, but rightfully so. I say that jokingly, but that's just the current state of
I didn't
Tennessee
say
football.
Safety. I didn't say safety.
I'd like to see Tennessee
back,
Tennessee
so that
get
got
active.
Lumped in.
Tennessee needs to get active in the long snapper portal portion for sure.
I had someone reach out to me. I did have someone reach out to me from another connected with a player at another school asking me if Tennessee had interest in a long snapper from the portal. So I don't think that qualifies as activity, but everybody's looking, man, even long snappers.
No, and I say that jokingly because seriously, Tennessee needs to consider every position on the field. Absolutely every position. And you did not say safety, but you did say defensive back. So that lumps a safety in. And
close enough.
There are some positions that I am certainly circling that you mentioned. I think it would be smart to add a tackle. I think it would be smart to add a safety. I think it would be smart to add a corner. And I say those positions specifically. You could use a running back or another receiver, another D lineman, maybe another linebacker. Like that all would be nice. But in terms of absolute needs, I'm looking at tackle. I'm looking at safety. And I'm looking at corner. And that's simply because you don't really have any options at the moment that you trust. You have some bodies there, but do you have players that you can absolutely trust at that position? And I don't think that the answer is yes to those particular positions. But as Ryan pointed out, we will continue to have complete coverage of Tennessee football and its actions in the transfer portal up at GoVols247.com, literally 247, 24/7. Every single day of the year, we will have coverage of the Vols and the transfer portal as it breaks. And if there's any other commitments that jump in the boat, we'll also have a podcast ready to go for you here on GoVols247. And again, please go like, rate, and review that pod. And without further ado, that was Ryan Callahan, and I'm Ben McKee, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
There's that button. And now I can say, thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at GoVols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run around the clock, got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.